You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. It's not just protesters who've been rushing to the southern U.S. border in the last few weeks. There's been a call for indigenous language interpreters, too. That's because there are a lot of Central Americans seeking asylum who don't speak any Spanish. More than 6 million people across Guatemala, Mexico, Belize, and Honduras, including diaspora communities here in the Bay Area, speak one of 30 different Mayan languages. Today, East Oakland is home to several thousand speakers of MAM, that's a Mayan language indigenous to Guatemala. For migrants who don't speak Spanish, there's a language barrier when trying to access social services. So many rely on interpreters to communicate with teachers, doctors, and lawyers. KALW's Marisol Medina Cadena brings us the story of one Mayan language interpreter who's part of a new generation of homegrown Oaklanders working to give their communities a voice in their native tongue.
In case you don't understand what's being said, you might be feeling language exclusion, what some Mayan speakers face when they arrive here in the U.S. And that language you just heard is MAM, one of the 22 officially recognized Mayan languages in Guatemala, spoken by Oswaldo Martin and his grandmother.
My name is Oswaldo Martin. Yo vivo aquí en el área de Fruitvale de Oakland, bish nchishnatsangwe ingeniería, bish lqewincha anang te intérprete.
Oswaldo is constantly switching between English, Spanish, and his first language, MAM. When in school, he speaks English. In the neighborhood, Spanish. And in his home, MAM.
Let me check on here. So this is my grandma.
Nice to meet you.
To meet Marisol.
Oswaldo's grandmother speaks MAM and very little Spanish, but the two languages sound nothing alike. So Oswaldo interprets for me and her. Dressed in a traditional purple huipil and a long black skirt called a corte, she shows me photos of their family in Guatemala.
Is that you in that photo?
That's
Alicia.
Gerardo. No, that's my cousin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Over the years, she's had to rely on Oswaldo to interpret for some of her doctor visits and translate mail that's sent to her in Spanish.
No, they're 18.
Is that when you were married?
Yeah.
Those are beautiful.
But Oswaldo doesn't just translate for his family. For the last 3 years, he's been working as an interpreter, helping attorneys communicate with MAM speakers.
Before I got into doing it, I didn't really think too much about it. I just thought, you know, they're going to talk to the lawyer, they're going to sign some paperwork.
At the age of 4, Oswaldo and his mother left his hometown in Todos Santos, Guatemala, and settled in East Oakland. Eventually, his family was granted asylum status. And since he spent most of his life here, he didn't know the harsh realities that his community faced back home. Nor did he know the details of Guatemala's brutal 36-year civil war, since many survivors don't talk about it. But that changed when he got hired by a Berkeley law firm to help attorneys work with asylum seekers.
And listening to their stories, I started to realize all of the things that were happening to our community, from gang violence, domestic violence, discrimination.
What started off as just a job to pay his way through community college became much more personal for Oswaldo. He wants to help MAM speakers tell their story in their own language so that they have a fair chance at winning their cases. He says it's important that MAM is given respect in the courts and at large.
We want it to be known and to also be treated on the same level as any other language would.
That's why he makes it a point to
correct people and tell people it's not a dialect, it's its own language, and it's completely separate from Spanish.
Before local courts understood the distinction between Mayan languages and Spanish, they would sometimes assign Spanish language interpreters for MAM speakers, which of course was useless. But awareness has grown. In 2016, the Department of Justice reported that MAM was one of the top 10 languages used in immigration court. Over the past 3 years, the Alameda County Superior Court, which deals with civil, criminal, and traffic law, has also been getting increasingly frequent requests for mom interpreters. Finding people with those skills hasn't been so easy, though.
We need more indigenous interpreters, and not just interpreters that can do mom and Spanish.
When courts need to make do with a shortage of trained interpreters, they often hire a mom speaker to do Spanish and then a second person to relay Spanish into English. But doing it this way with two different people and three different languages is a game of telephone, where words can get lost in translation.
The most valuable ones at the moment are the ones that can do mom straight to English.
Interpreters like Oswaldo, but until recently, there weren't many available.
Some people are waiting years to get a case to be settled, and the only reason why they wait so long is because there's no one to interpret.
But Oswaldo and other English-speaking mom millennials who migrated to the U.S. as children now have come of age. They're bridging this language gap. At the office of a local nonprofit called Asociación Mayab, bilingual Mayan speakers are gathered to learn how to be court interpreters. Although Oswaldo is already trained to work in the courts, he attends the weekly class to practice his skills and meet other interpreters. And not all speak Mum. They speak other Mayan languages, like Quiche, Setal, and Yucateco. The class is taught in Spanish so that everyone can learn.
Okay, entonces dice que el intérprete tiene que ser imparcial y objetivo y no puede tener prejuicios en contra de alguna religión, política, etnia, sexo.
That's Naomi Adelson. She's been leading this course for the last 10 years. All her students are migrants, just like their clients. Besides teaching them how to ethically and responsibly interpret in the court, she gives them a crash course on legal terminology. Because in any language, the law is really complex, like breaking down what arraignment means.
Reading charges to them in the movie.
Reading accusations. Reading instructions. That's the idea that we came up with.
Okay, no. Because what you're reading there is the charges.
The charges.
I'm telling you, what am I accusing you of?
It takes years to master interpreting skills. So many of Naomi's students keep returning to her class even after completing the training. They also come back because they feel it's a safe space to discuss the emotional struggles they experience on the job.
La experiencia es similar. Es similar. Lo que dijo, yo vi, yo lo viví. Y lo que la está sufriendo, yo lo sufrí. Entonces, ahí es un...
That's one interpreter recalling a time he relived his own trauma while interpreting for a young boy. He didn't specify the details of the testimony because interpreters are sworn to an oath of confidentiality. And since the Mayan community in the Bay Area is so tight-knit, interpreters don't want to out anyone's story. Coping with the emotional intensity is just one of many challenges Oswaldo and his peers face. Oswaldo has learned how to swallow his feelings of frustration when his clients don't win their request for asylum.
You know, sometimes cases just come down to a single word or a single phrase. And sometimes I just want to, like, yell out, like, what the officer wants to hear, what would make the convince the officer to help the person out.
But he doesn't. If his client's testimony of why they are fleeing their home doesn't fit what the law considers as credible fear and thus worthy of protection, Oswaldo says he can't do anything about it. He's simply the bridge between two languages.
Remain seated. Come to order. Apartment 16 is now in session.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Benjamin Reyes. I'm one of the judges of this peer court. I'll be calling your cases in order.
On a Tuesday afternoon, Oswaldo is working a job for the Superior Court of Richmond. He's dressed up in a button-down shirt and a sleek black tie. Over that, he wears a striped camisa, a shirt traditional to his hometown of Todos Santos. It has a large collar and cuffs, which are colorfully embroidered with blue, yellow, and green flowers, making him stand out. And that's his goal. He says he wants his indigenous culture to be seen.
Okay, with the interpreters, please state your appearance. And our court clerk will have to swear you both in. Mr. Martin, please raise your right hand to be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear that you will make a true interpretation of English into mom and mom into English?
When he showed up, Oswaldo had no idea what kind of hearing this would be or who he's interpreting for. That's usually the case. and it means he has to be prepared for everything. Today, he is interpreting for a man charged with murder.
So we're here on further arraignment?
Since his client is in custody for murder charges, he can only communicate through the small openings in the wall between the courtroom and its holding cell. Think the space between prison bars, but smaller. This makes it very hard for both of them to hear each other. And the job requires major multitasking. Oswaldo has to listen to what the judges say in English, remember it, and relay it back in Mum, all in real time.
Do you understand and waive your 10-day right, sir?
Yes.
Ms. Eisenhardt, do you concur?
I didn't hear the interpreter. What was the answer, Mr. Interpreter?
He said C.
I'm sorry?
C. Yes.
Thank you.
The trial ends, and Oswaldo looks tired. But his work isn't done. Outside the courthouse, he finds the other Mum interpreter on the trial to ask how she said the phrase, waive your rights, in Mum. He's doing research for a manual he's creating in order to standardize the language Mum interpreters are using in the courts.
One of my projects is to get a consensus of you know, important words that come up in interpreting.
The manual is a big undertaking since there are no direct translations in Mum for legal terminology. He says it's challenging since Mum is a language full of idioms, many of which are based on agriculture or anatomy.
And sometimes it means bringing back old words, words that our grandparents may have used, bringing them back into the language and giving them a new context.
A legal context. So on Saturdays, he and a small group of interpreters stay after class at Asociación Mayab to come up with Mum equivalencies for legal jargon, like bond. Naomi helps them too.
Then we were saying about the fianza, bond. So payment for you being held.
Oh, no, that's not the meaning. So the bond is this. It's a payment to get out of jail and guarantee that you will come back.
To your I think that's the part that we missed on, the guarantee of coming back.
Exactly. So you got to add that.
He's taking on this ambitious project to empower other bilingual Mum speakers to become interpreters and inform government agencies how to better serve Mum refugees.
Part of it, too, is being recognized that there's a community here that's separate from the bigger Latino, Latin American culture.
Just 22 years old, he's doing all this while pursuing a civil engineering degree, helping his family's construction business, and working on his own music projects. Oswaldo says all these endeavors are about uplifting his community right here in Oakland.
There's so many Mum people here, you see them walking all down Fruitvale, you know, you can't take a step without seeing one.
He tells me that back in Guatemala, people call different neighborhoods aldeas. So Oswaldo affectionately calls his adoptive home in Fruitvale,
Aldea Fruitvale,
a tight-knit community where Maya migrants are each other's greatest advocates. In Aldea Fruitvale, I'm Marisol Medina Cadena for Cross Currents.